This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in series entitled Destined to Win. Our foundational text throughout this entire series has been 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14, and I'm focusing in on the first part of verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes, but what class? Always causes us to triumph where? In Christ. And so we understand that we triumph in Christ. We win in Christ. So to the degree that we are in Christ, we are winning. If we do it God's way, we're going to get God results in our lives. If we put God at the top of the list, how many know he'll take care of the rest of the list in our lives? And so it's important to understand that. And I've told you that because of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary, we are called to conquer and we are destined to win in life. All right, everybody, real strong, repeat after me. Say, I'm called to conquer, and I'm destined to win. So today's lesson, I've been giving you for the past 3 weeks, you know, I've just been real excited because I've been in the faith component side, and so I'm switching a little bit more on my teaching side. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get excited. I can't promise that. But today's lesson is about understanding and embracing God's plan and blueprint for your life, because your life and your plan is different from the person that's sitting next to you, behind you, or in front of you. And everybody's plans are important, but God has a specific plan for your life. I want you to understand a few things before I really get into my lesson. The first thing I want you to understand is that you were made for this exact moment that you're living in right now. You were made for this moment, whatever it is that's going on in your life. There's a grace that's on you for it. God knew you would be here. He knew you'd be here this morning at WLCC. He was ensuring that you're going to get a word that's going to help you for whatever season of life that you're in. So the first thing I want you to understand is that you were made for this moment. So this moment is not too big for you. Nothing can overtake you. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing by any means can harm you. So you were made for this moment. Not only were you made for this moment, but you have incredible purpose. Every person in this room has incredible purpose, all right? And then the last thing is that God wants to do some big things in your life. So I want you to continue to listen to my lesson, but if you don't listen to anything else, when you go out of here today, I want you to know, man, I was made for this moment. God has incredible purpose, and he's got big plans for my life, amen? That's a good place to give the Lord a big hand praise right there. All right, Proverbs the 29th chapter, the 18th verse. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, and we talked a lot about revelation past couple weeks, which is simply an understanding of God's word at the level of our comprehension, and God is always going to speak to us in a way we can understand it. So when they attend to what he reveals, the Bible says they are what? Most blessed. So we have to learn how to focus on God and his plan for our lives. There's a scripture in the Message translation that says, avoid all sideshow distractions. So in other words, I need to focus on God. I need to focus on his plan for my life. I need to focus on what God is doing in my life. So therefore, I'm not in anybody else's business. I'm not worried about what God is doing over here, over there. But I believe that God is doing some incredible things in my life. And to the degree I will focus on him, he will reveal some things to me that will cause me to be most blessed. Does that make sense? So I've got to focus on God. I've got to focus on his plan for my life. How many know that, yes, I need to focus on God and his plan for my life, but I also need to get along with folk? Isn't that right? Yeah, like, you know, this culture is big on fussing and fighting and arguing and all kinds of things. You know, social media is just crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Social media is cray-cray. You got to understand? Yeah, and so because, you know, I don't know if it's people feel like they can hide behind things and everybody wants to fuss and argue, but Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse teaches us to follow peace with all men, not some men, not the people you like. Not the people that vote the way you vote, right? But it says follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so it is the peaceful attitude that gives you a clear picture of what God is trying to do in your life. falling out with people affects how you see God. So for no other reason to have a clear picture of what God is doing in your life so you can get from where you are to where you need to be, learn to get along with everybody. Like, you need to have a mantra. Man, I ain't fussing with nobody. I ain't fighting with nobody. I love everybody. And why not? Because Jesus does. Does that make sense? Thank you. That's a good place to clap. I was waiting on it. Thank you, Doc. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, for God so loved the
world.
Not your world, but the world. Does that make sense? And so you got to understand, and you've got to just learn, and sometimes just agree to disagree. Doesn't mean that because, you know, me loving you doesn't even mean that I agree with everything you do and how you do it. But I've learned to agree to disagree. And we've got to do that in every area of our lives and in all of our relationships if they're going to work and if we're going to have longevity, right? So Lady LaConte and I, this past December, we had been married 25 years. So as soon as we hit 25 years, I tell people, we're working on 26 years, right? And so recently, and we love to have a good time. One thing about me and Lady, we always going to have fun. Always, right? And so, you know, we were doing something, and when I say going back and forth, it's not like going back and forth like people think. We just have fun. We can fuss and be laughing. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's not real fussing. Does that make sense? Right. Yeah, like, you know, it doesn't matter if she doesn't believe that the Cowboys are going to get the ring next year, as long as I believe it. So she can look at me and call me crazy. It don't matter, right? And so we were going back and forth about something, and we were, you know, playing around, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to agree with everything that she says. And so she says, I said, I agree. She said, oh, you being funny. I said, I agree. She's like, you are going to pay for that. I agree. And so I was like, maybe if I just say I agree all the time, everything will be all right. But I learned you can't say I agree all the time, because a little bit later on that day, she came out. She's like, she's looking at me. I don't know. This outfit makes me look a little big. I disagree. And that's a good place to give the Lord a hand praise. I just helped somebody in their relationship right there. So he says, follow peace with all men. Get along with everybody, right? Because Jesus paid the same price for you that he paid for them, even if they're not saved. Come on, somebody. You might be the light that somebody sees, that door that the Holy Spirit wants to open, you know, but if you're being mean, that may not happen. Right? And so follow peace with all. So if the guy at Subway is behind you and he jumps in front of you, follow peace with all men. If you're at the red light and it turns green and the person behind you didn't give you a millisecond and they're blowing on the horn, follow peace with all men. Like, just learn how to get along with everybody. Like Lady said, just smile and wave. You got it? And follow peace with all men. Watch this. And holiness. For without which so no man shall see the Lord. And it's important to understand that I have to, the Bible says, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least we can do for everything that God has done for us. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of my mind. So when I get this word, you got it, and I really get it, and I get it on the inside of me, it starts changing me and transforming me into the image of God to the degree I don't want to do some of the stuff I used to do. I don't want to act some of the ways I used to act. I don't want to talk some of the ways I used to talk, because I'm a new man, and every man that comes to Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. So when he says, and holiness, in layman's terms, I say, give your life to Jesus and give him your very best. Give your life to Jesus and give him your very best. Give your life to Jesus and give. And if you will just do that, you'll see God do some amazing things in your life. Amen? All right. Now, the biggest enemy. Okay, y'all want to clap? That's good. Well, give me a good clap. Now, don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. All right. The biggest enemy. We're talking about purpose. The biggest enemy of purpose is comparison. Not only is it an enemy, comparison is the thief of joy. You should never try to compare your life to somebody else's. Never compare what you have to what somebody else has. Paul says when we compare ourselves one to another, we become unwise. And it's so important that you don't try to compare yourself to anybody, right? I don't know about you, but I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. I'm taking this word. I'm confessing it. I'm trying to be the very best I can. So the biggest enemy of purpose is comparison. And too many people can't see their God-given purpose because they're too focused on everyone else and everything else. right? So you can't get on Instagram and wish you had somebody else's life. You can't get on Facebook and wish you had somebody else's life, because number one, is that their real life? Or are you just looking at a filter, praise the Lord? But you have to know that God has an incredible plan for your life. That Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The NLT says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. So God thinks about you, and what God thinks about you matters most. God has plans for you, and his plans for you are the most important. So to the degree, I'm getting excited, to the degree that you submit your will to his will and your way to his way, and don't focus on anything else but you and what Jesus is trying to do in your life, you will become the best version of who Jesus has called you to be. That's a good place to clap right there. And I don't know about you, but I'm just trying to be the best version of me that I can be. Right? I'm not big on comparison. Man, when I hear about what God has done in other people's life, I get excited. I celebrate, because I'm like, man, look what the Lord has done. You got it? Why? Because I can't focus on anything else. I've got to just be the best I can be, all right? And so you have to understand the importance of that. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through, but God knows. You don't know what I've done, but God doesn't. He hadn't changed his mind about you. God knows the struggle. God knows what you've been through. God knows about the divorce. God knows what they did to you. He knows what you did to them. He knows how they lied on you. He knows how you lied on them. He knows about the bankruptcy. He knows about the addiction. He knows about the secret sin. He knows about it all, and his plans have not changed for you. And you've got to understand that. You got it? And so that's why, watch this, he hasn't changed, so I'm the one that has to make the change. And if I draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to me. You got it? So I have to start making adjustments. And sometimes it's just the little things. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't used to get on the prayer line, and I started getting on the prayer line. And after about a week or two, it's like, man, the prayer line is really working for me. You understand? I never used to read devotions, but now I'm just taking 5 minutes in the morning, 7 minutes in the morning, and my pastor said, I don't have to read 15 chapters. I don't have to read five chapters, but if I read those little five verses, it'll take me through the whole day, and the Holy Spirit can minister to me just through those little five verses, because I'm not in comparison with someone who read 15 verses or 25. Praise God for them, but I'm just trying to be the best me that I can be. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, I'm going to, at some point, probably over the summer, do a vision series. I do one every couple years. A lot of times I call it Making a Difference. Sometimes I switch the title just to make you think of something different. It's the same vision series, praise the Lord. All right, because certain things don't change. Isn't that right? Yeah, you know, I'm the most honest pastor you'll ever meet, all right? But we have core values, which are love God, love people, have excellence, have a great attitude, right? Matter of fact, we got an email the other day for some, and I don't know, it might have been one of y'all's kids, we don't know who it was, but they said that the kids, so basically, we have love God, love people, have excellence, have a great attitude. And theirs is, the last one is do your best, and we add for the kids, and God will do the rest. And so the mom was telling the little boy, I think it was a little boy, hey, I want you to clean up your closet. And so she came back a little bit later, and he cleaned up half of the closet, right? He made half of it great. And then he told his mom, and she emailed the church to let us know, you know, kids are listening, right? And so he said, well, mom, I thought if I just do my best, God will do the rest. You got but it's good, you know, that they're, and that's why we got to bring our kids to church and raise them up in the way that they should go. Isn't that right? And so we have core values, and then as it relates to vision, there's four things that we really desire for your life. They'll put them up on the screen. I'm going to give all four in the back, and then I'll kind of go through them. You know, and it's really not our plan for your life. It's really God's plan for your life. And for you, our desire is for you to know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference, all right? To know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference. And so Let's talk a little bit about that. And the first one we'll talk about is knowing God. Knowing God. Your relationship with God matters most. It has to be the most important relationship in your entire life and existence, because everything is going to flow from your relationship with God, right? This is really a setup question. You almost have to say the right thing, but I'm going to ask anyway. How many love your pastor? You're going to say you love your pastor, right? You think I'm a nice guy, right? I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. You know, you like to be around me because I've got joy, right? And those kind of things. Well, see, what you have to understand is you're just getting the overflow of my relationship with God, because I spend time with God, because I spend time in His Word, because I'm always working on making sure that I'm the best that I can be. It has put me in a place where I'm full of joy. I'm full of peace. I'm full of all these things. So when you get around, be like, man, I just like to be around you, because you are getting the overflow of my relationship with God, right? Well, people should get the overflow of your relationship with God. So when they're around you, they should be happy and not, oh man, here they come. Right? Right. So it's important to make sure that you have a relationship with God where you're in the Word. You got it? And though we have corporate fasting, take your own time where I'm going to fast today, you know, till 3 o'clock, or I'm going to fast for 2 days, or whatever the Lord tells you to do, and make sure that you are continuing to develop your relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, so you can be the very best you can be, so everyone can get the overflow of your relationship. People should know of righteousness. People should know of joy. People should know of peace when they get around you because of your relationship with God. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, amen. That's a good place to clap. Yeah. So to know Him, but not just know Him in your head, but know Him in your heart. It's not about religion, but it's about relationship. You got it. And one of the best things you could ever do is discipline yourself to read the Word, because discipline turns into desire. Discipline yourself to get on the prayer call, because discipline turns into desire. Discipline yourself to do a 5-minute or 7-minute or 10-minute devotion, because discipline turns into desire. It's funny, because I was talking to my sister minister Deb, and I was telling her that we were doing the video that the man at the middle said I could come, which is a powerful video, right? You know, but we're so much alike, because I told her I actually went back and started listening to some of the lesson he was preaching, right? Because when you why you have a desire for the Word. Right? So let me explain to you. I don't love going to the gym. Right? Some of y'all don't either, praise the Lord. And I have ebbs and flows. You got it? It's just true. I just have ebbs and flows. I'm fine. Did something to my elbow. It's kind of, you know, been bothering me lately. So, I can't, you know, lift anything right now. And those kind of things. I can, lady and I do some walking. And so, you know, I can't. And I told Ben the other night, like, my elbow needs to hurry up and get itself together, you know, because, you know, the summertime's coming. Pastor dresses down in the summertime. I like to wear my, you know, my short sleeve shirts. And I want to make sure I'm looking firm. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. But I don't go to the gym because I like it. I go to the gym because I like the results. So watch this. But if you discipline yourself to go for the walk around the corner, or just to whatever, and you keep doing it and keep doing it, if you do it enough and get into a schedule or a cycle, watch this. When you miss a day, you'll actually miss what you did. Because if you discipline yourself long enough and do it, that discipline turns into desire. Does that make sense? So praying might be hard in the beginning, you understand? But the more you pray, the easier it becomes. Does that make sense? Brothers, like I told you, I don't care if you're going to Bojangles to get a Bo-Berry biscuit, you got it, or y'all going to Dairy Queen with your family to get ice cream. Before you do it, thank God for it, pray over it, and then consume it, right? Consume all the calories and everything that come along with it, right? Because you're leading your family. And so as a man, if you've come to church, you don't know a lot about this, and you're just learning, and that's okay. You're like, well, man, pastor said pray. And I've told guys, it might feel funny, but just do it. I don't even look at the family. Just say, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this food we're about to receive. The more you do it, watch this, then they start expecting it. Does that make sense? Man, I'm teaching to you this year. I don't know if you know it or not. Amen. I just really feel this teaching anointing on me, but I got to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. I'm not at my first point yet. Praise the Lord. So know God, find freedom. God wants you free. And Jesus has already done everything he needs to do in order for you to be free. It's up to you to walk into the freedom that he has already made for you. All right? And so he wants you free from every bad habit, free from secret sins, free from sickness, free from depression, free from anxiety, free from past hurts, free from past scars. He wants to make all things new in your life. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he guaranteed your freedom and he guaranteed my freedom. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be what? Free indeed. And so what happens is, it's a done deal. You have to now receive it by faith, start acting like it's so, walking in it, speaking, I'm free. Watch this, and watch this. Maybe not overnight, but over time, faith cometh by hearing, but it's released by the words of your mouth. See, if I had time to talk about faith and how faith works, I would explain to you a component of word, faith, and manifestation. Everybody say word. Faith. Manifestation. When you begin to understand it, first thing you got to do is get the word. You got it? That's the number one thing you got to do. Watch this. But when I get that word and I mix it with faith, Hebrews 4:2, the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. It did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith in them that heard it. So now, watch this. I get the word of God that I'm free. I mix it with faith. Faith, it comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of my mouth. So, Father, I thank you that I'm free. You got it? I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm free from this. I'm free from that. You know, and go get somewhere where ain't nobody hear you so you can talk about everything that you need to be free from that ain't nobody else's business. Can I get an amen? Right? Yeah, I mean, come on now. Don't play. Don't shoot me when I'm preaching good now. You understand? All right? And so what happens is I get the word on it. I mix it with faith. I start declaring my freedom. Watch this. And then manifestation shows up in my life. I look around and say, man, I am free from that. I am free from that shame that the enemy's trying to hold over me, over something I did 2 years ago, 3 years, whenever it is. You know, I am free. And so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. 3 and 4 really go together. Discover your purpose, make a difference. God has called you to some very specific and special things that he wants you to do in life so you can, number 4, make a difference. And you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting someone's life in an amazing way. Than when you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And so you feel the best when you're impacting someone else's life. I know what I'm talking about. You feel the best, all right? Statistics from nationally accredited seminaries say number 2, finding freedom is the toughest one to achieve. So let's talk about this. How many points y'all think I got? 3, you already know, all right? You already know. Okay, with my 5 minutes and 47 seconds left, let me see if I can't give you these three points, all right? I took a long time on my introduction, but I'm not upset. That means that's what Holy Spirit wanted me to focus on. Does that make sense? All right, here's some keys to finding freedom. Number 1, take back my thought life. Take back my thought life. The way you think determines how you live. All right. Romans 8:5-6 says those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. You're not dominated by the sinful nature, though. All right. You got it. Because in the book of Romans, the Bible says that sin can't dominate us because we are not under the law, but we're under grace. Now, when I'm under grace, that doesn't mean that I have a license just to do what I want. You got it. When I'm under grace, it literally means when you go back, it literally means that I'm guided by the Spirit of God. Right? So they think about that. He says, but those who are controlled by Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, the writer says there's death. But Paul says, if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Every single day of my life, and I've taught you this before, I always declare, Father, I thank you that my mind is alert and I think the thoughts of God. My mind is alert and I think when I'm frustrated, my mind is alert and I think the thoughts of God. When I'm happy, my mind is alert and I think the thoughts of God. If I'm confused, while somebody's acting crazy, my mind is alert and I think the thoughts of God. Why? Because I always want to be guided by the Spirit of God so I can please God. Does that make sense? And the battle is in your mind. So you have to win the battle in your mind. Your mind is the arena of faith, as the case may be. You got it. Your mind is where you're going to make the choice whether I am or I am not, right? And so to the degree, watch this, that you have the word of God, right? And you consume yourself with the word of God, you will always make the right decision in your mind. You got it. The Bible says, let the poor say I'm. Y'all scared? Let the poor say I'm.
Rich.
Yeah, rich just means abundantly supplied. Don't get upset about that, right? You got, let the weak say I'm.
Strong.
Yeah, yeah. Let the sick say I'm. Yeah, you got it. And so what happens is I'm not going to confess the problem. I'm going to confess the promise over and over and over until I see it happen in my life. So I got to, amen, that's a good place to clap. I got to take back my thought life. Yeah, I'm not going to let the devil, watch this. I got to take back my thought life, number one. Then number two, I have to identify the lie. Because the enemy will work overtime to lie to you. You got it, to give you bad information. Sometimes people will give you bad information. You know, whether it's, an old friend, old boyfriend, old girlfriend, maybe your parents weren't saved and their minds weren't renewed. And if you're not careful, somebody lied to you. They told you you weren't smart enough. They told you you weren't pretty. They told you you were never going to make it. They told you that you were a mistake. All lies. And whatever information gets there first, watch this, can have preeminence and become a stronghold if we don't replace it with the word of God. So watch this. Now, I'm teaching you something here. So I'm going to take back my thought life. I'm going to identify the lie, right? Because John 8:44 says, when the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of them. So anytime the enemy puts a negative thought in your mind, the first thing that ought to come out your mouth, say, you a lie. Come on, on the count of three, just say you a lie. Just practice it. 1, 2, 3. Okay, y'all did it good, but you need to put a little a little swag part with some aggression. Like, you a lie, you show enough lie, right? You know, like, let the devil know. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm looking for right there. That when the enemy comes at you, come on somebody, and starts telling you you're not going to make it, you're going to die early, you'll never get done with the degree, you'll never accomplish anything, you say, let every man and every devil be a lie and let God be true. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. And what he started in my life, he's going to complete in my life. Because he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. And I don't care, devil, if you try to bring up my past, because I read the end of the book. Let me tell you about your future. It don't look too good. And my past does not define my future. I can make a mistake. 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You might not like it, but you can mess up on Monday. Watch this. Repent on Monday night and on Tuesday declare, my best days are not behind me, but my God, my best days are before me. Woo. All right, we got to go. 34 seconds. Take back my thought life. Identify the lie. Number three, replace the lie with God's truth. Replace the lie with God's truth. Let me give you this scripture. 2 Corinthians. Y'all get anything out of this? 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of what class? Strongholds are houses of negative thoughts that reside in one's mind that is based on the devil and bad information. All right. So verse 5 says, this is what you do. When you get it, don't keep it. Because if you get, watch this. If you get one at nine, let's say the devil gives you one starting at 9 o'clock all the way to 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, right. Like every hour he's going to give you a bad thought. Watch this. If you're not careful and you keep every bad thought, what you got? But about 12 bad thoughts. So the Bible says you don't do that. Verse 5, casting down what? Arguments. I know KJV says every imagination. This is in KJV. Same thing. Casting down every imagination. Watch this. Casting down arguments, because the devil will try to argue with you. Don't argue with the devil. He don't know what he's talking about. And everything, watch this, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, what? Into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And how many know sometimes that can be a full-time job? Sometimes the enemy says, you ain't going to make it. You cast it down. 5 minutes later, you say hi to somebody, and they'll say, hey, how you doing? See, they don't even care about you. You got to cast it down. You got to learn, because now he's lying. Them folk ain't mad with you. Them folk love you. Come on. But if you're not careful, you'll listen to the devil. Right? You go, Pastor walked right past me, and he didn't even see me. He didn't even hug me. Oh, that's it. I got to leave because they don't love you at that church. That's a lie. Pastor was focused, and he just didn't see you. But watch this. If I accept every lie that comes from the devil, it starts compounding over and over and over and becomes a stronghold and weighs me down. We got to go home, Court. We got to go home. I got to just, because I really feel the teaching anointing on me, but I got to let y'all go, all right? Whew. So what I need to do, let me just close this up. So what I need to do is I need to make it up in my mind that I am not giving the devil any more space in my mind. I'm not going to let him live rent-free in my mind anymore. But the moment something comes, I'm going to cast it down. Watch this. And watch this. And as soon as I cast it down, I'm going to replace that lie with the truth of God's word. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, we'll just do some blood work, and, you know, like they normally do. And they say, we'll call you if anything's, you know, but if you don't hear from us, we might send you a letter. Everything's good. If you're not careful, then you say, something's going to happen. Something's going to be off. You got it. You got this and you got that. Ain't nothing happened. They just drew a little bit of blood. But you see how the enemy works overtime. Watch this. To talk you out of the good life that he has already prearranged and made ready for you to live. So let's stand all over the building. You need to make it up in your mind that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what you're going through, I belong to Jesus. Just say, I belong to Jesus. Yeah, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. So the enemy might try to come against me. I belong to Jesus. People might try to come against me. I belong to Jesus. Something comes up in my life that took me by surprise. I belong to Jesus. Like, it doesn't matter what happens because I belong to Jesus. Doesn't matter what's going on. I belong to Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I thank you for every person that's in this room under the sound of my voice. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to attack them in their mind and in their emotions. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. I declare that they are who God says they are. I declare they can do what God says they can do. I declare they're not sick, but they're healed. They're not poor, but they're rich. They're not defeated, but they have the victory. They're not alone, but they have a friend. I declare they can do all things through Christ who strengthened them. They're not conquered, but they're more than conquerors. Their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. They're the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm speaking the word of God over your life. That you're full of joy. You're full of peace. That your mind is alert and you think the thoughts of God. That you're sharp. That you're witty. That it's not too late. That it's not over. That you're not too old. Don't listen to those lies from the enemy. But I declare in the name of Jesus that you're sharp. That you're witty. I declare in the name of Jesus that you've got the revelation that you need for the situation that you're in, and God is getting you through it in Jesus' name. I declare weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I declare you might bend, but you will not break. I declare every lying tongue that rises up against you, it shall be condemned. I declare because Jesus is on the inside of you and you belong to him, you don't have a problem he can't solve. You don't have a situation he can't fix. You don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. He's I am that I am. He's whatever you need him to do. We're going to do this and we're going to pray and we're going to go home. So what I want you to do is I want you to make the decision to cast all your care upon him. Whatever you've been holding, I want you to leave it here today. Whatever that's been holding you down, I want you to leave it here today and I want you to walk out of here free. If you're in the room and online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ is a new creature, a new creation. That old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I like to tell people, hell is not a place you go to because God's mad at you. Hell is a place that you go to pay for your own sins. But why pay for your own sins when Jesus has already paid for them? And to the degree that you will just acknowledge what Jesus did on Calvary and repent of all your sins and invite him into your heart, he'll make all things brand new. So if you're in the room or online and you need to invite Jesus into your heart, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're in the room or online and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're in the room or online and you're a Christian and you just need to repent about something, I want you to pray this prayer, because this prayer covers everything. And as a matter of fact, if you don't fall under any of those categories, I want you to pray this prayer, because it's going to help the person next to you that may need to pray this prayer. So let's pray it together. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you bless them all over the building?